Scott and Sherry Calloway have the all-American two-story house clad in white paint and black shutters. Four kids, four bedrooms, four animals. Black chain-link fence borders the property line in their backyard, complete with a fire pit and an old rusting swing set, but it all feels white picket to me. The imperfections are character. The chaos is my favorite music. The inked guy at the grill is every girl's fantasy, and he's mine.
Tell me about your day, Swayze.
Griffin, in his hands-off-my-meat apron, flashes me a lopsided grin over the lid of the grill as he flips the burgers. My parents never flirted in front of me. No sexy grins, no PDA, no whispers that elicited pink cheeks. The Callaways are the complete opposite. His parents can't keep their hands off each other as they go in and out of the sliding deck door, setting the rest of the food on the table beneath the big red umbrella. Scott not so discreetly pinches Sherry's butt, and she shoos him away while biting back her flirty grin like a teenage girl with a crush. I love this family. It's been 2 weeks since I last ran out of Nate's house, filled with adrenaline, fear, and nausea. My new routine involves handing him Morgan and sprinting for the nearest exit as soon as he walks in the door. Since Dr. Grayson and I seem to be at a stalemate, unable to figure out why I know things I shouldn't, I've decided to use distractions to keep my brain from wandering into crazy land. Griffin is my favorite distraction. Typical Friday. My grocery store guy forgot to wake me up before he left for work. I glare at him, but within seconds my lips curl into a grin. 10 seconds is my record for staying mad at him. The adoration in his eyes every time he looks at me is too disarming. Coffee. Exercise. I finished a business card design and trade show banner. Then I got my Morgan fix.
You mean baby fix?
His right eyebrow lifts a fraction. I fill the blue plastic cups with lemonade as his mom yells into the house, calling his sisters to come eat. No, Morgan fix. Baby fix implies my uterus is speaking to me and I'm pacifying it in other ways. I told you Morgan started smiling this week. Real ones, not the newborn reflex. She's such a happy baby, not colicky. She fusses when she wants to eat, but that's it.
You're a romantic, Professor Hunt.
I don't know about that. She pushes off the edge of my desk as I head toward the door.
Look, she holds out her arm. I have goosebumps from your story.
I continue toward the garage. You have goosebumps because I keep my office 5 degrees cooler than any other room in the house, except my bedroom.
Well, at least now I know why you were so weird about calling me your daughter Daisy.
As if she hears us, Morgan starts to fuss. I won't be long. I open the door.
Has she met her?
What? I turn. Swayze rubs her lips together as her eyes narrow into a slight squint like she's afraid to say any more.
Has Morgan met Morgan?
One is dead and the other is a newborn.
Yet, you visit dead Morgan's grave.
So?
Do you talk to her?
What does it matter? She's crying. You'd better go pick her up.
She's barely fussing, and I will get her in a second. Your best friend, you named your daughter after her. Hello? Of course you should introduce them. I introduced my boyfriend to my dead father.
Swayze cocks her head to the side.
It went much better than I expected. My father didn't say much, and I felt certain he'd have something to say about my boyfriend's tattoos.
You're morbid. I don't want to laugh. It's not the right time, and the context of this conversation has taken a wrong turn. She's crazy. I've hired a crazy young woman to watch my child.
Says the guy who has a skeleton standing next to his desk.
My jaw clenches to keep myself in check. I refuse to laugh.
I'm an anatomy professor. Now, go do your job. She's crying. I'll grab her a bottle and the diaper bag. You get her car seat.
No. I'll see you both in about an hour.